It's 1964, the start of the anti-communist purges in Indonesia, and a teenager named Adam is hiding in the bushes near his home. Soldiers arrive in trucks, and they drive up to his front door, and he watches as they take his father away.
They hesitated as they approached the steps going up to the veranda, talking among themselves. They were too far away. He couldn't hear what they were saying. Then two of them went up to the house, and when they emerged, they had Carl with them. He was not handcuffed. He followed them slowly, walking to the truck with his uneven gait before climbing up and disappearing under the tarpaulin canopy. From a distance, he looked small, just like them, just like a child, too, only with fair hair and pink skin.
That's Malaysian author Tash Awe. He's reading from the opening scene of his new novel. It's called Map of the Invisible World. And Tash Awe joins me now from London. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Hello, it's great to be here.
Before we get to more of the story, I want to ask about Indonesia in the year 1964. Why did you choose that year in particular to set the story?
Well, 1964 was a time of great turbulence in Southeast Asia. For 300 years, countries like Indonesia and Malaysia have existed under colonial rule. Now they are independent, and people are finding that both on a national and a personal level, freedom is actually something that's very hard to deal with.
Now, the book takes place during a movement that was being pushed by the Indonesian leader at the time, Sukarno, with a name George Orwell could not have invented, and it was called Guided Democracy. What was it all about?
It was essentially Sukarno's push to make Indonesia into a cohesive nation. By 1964, the wheels are slightly coming off this rather sort of rickety bandwagon, and Sukarno's losing grip on the situation, and things are tumbling into disarray and sliding very swiftly into civil war.
As you describe in the book, during this period, he begins a purge of communists and of any remnants of Dutch colonialism. Caught in the middle of your story, of your novel, is a 16-year-old named Adam.
Yeah, he's orphaned. He was abandoned very early on in life. He gets adopted by a Dutchman who spent most of his life in Indonesia. And of course, as Indonesia teeters on the brink of civil turmoil, his adoptive father is taken away, and so Adam finds himself orphaned yet again. And so he has to face, like his country, questions of identity, questions of where he's from, where he's going to, who his family really is. And so the novel is really about how he finds his father and therefore how he finds himself.
One of the characters in the book who is part of a major plot twist, his name is Din. He is a student and a revolutionary. I mean, he sees Malaysia as the ultimate enemy. He wants to destroy any remnants of what he describes as neo-imperialism.
Yeah, absolutely. Din doesn't really belong to any of the main political groups. He becomes seriously radicalized. And in fact, in that way, he really is a precursor to a lot of what's going on in Indonesia now. You know, whereas in the 60s, the great radicalizing element was communism. Today, it's much more likely to be Islam. Mm. But I think that there are a lot of similarities to be drawn. I think when large numbers of young people, young men in particular, become disillusioned and have no hope, they will turn to whatever is out there that will radicalize them.
Your descriptions of Jakarta, the city of Jakarta in the mid-1960s, are incredibly evocative. Obviously, you weren't around at that time to witness it because you're a young man. But, I mean, you describe the incense smell in the alleyways, the blocked drain pipes, the cooking sounds. Did you spend much time in the city while writing the book?
I did. I've spent a lot of time in Jakarta over the years. I visited ever since I was about 9 or 10 and continue to do so. And although Jakarta has obviously changed a lot, in one way I think the atmosphere of the streets hasn't. For me, coming from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Jakarta has always felt incredibly crowded, very grimy, very dusty, and quite dangerous and mysterious at the same time. And so what I did was just to capture that element that I've always felt and just transpose that into a 1960 setting.
Tasha, you were born in Taiwan. Your parents are Malaysian. You grew up in Kuala Lumpur, and now you live in London.
Yeah.
It's hard not to draw some comparisons between you and the character Adam. who, you know, of course, is a boy who's drawn from all of these different worlds. Were you sort of thinking about those things when you were writing this story?
It's never something I think of consciously. I mean, there's never a day when I wake up thinking, goodness, I have a very fragmented cultural makeup. But of course, as you say, inevitably one's upbringing, one's cultural DNA filters into one's work. And I guess for that reason, a lot of my characters are looking to find out who they are. All of them are looking to try and discern a notion of home, where they belong. So I guess in that way, my own life does have certain parallels with my characters' lives.
That's Tash Shaw. He is the author of the newly released book, Map of the Invisible World. Tash Shaw, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.